Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
The European Commission is expected to announce further restrictions on COVID-19 vaccine exports this morning as tensions primarily with the UK continue to rise over which countries are getting the supplies. Now, Europe has exported more than 40 million doses around the world, but Europeans have only received 70 million doses to date. And I'm joined on the line now by Gavin Barrett, who's a professor specialising in EU law at the UCD Sutherland School of Law, and also Oliver O'Connor, who's chief executive of the Irish Pharmaceutical Healthcare Association, which represents international pharma companies, including Pfizer, Janssen and AstraZeneca. Good morning to you both. And Oliver, I'm going to start with you because your association has warned about the impact that any vaccine export ban might have. So will you explain to us what your warning might happen?
Well, Clara, thank you. The proposed export ban would sort of interfere and be a change of direction from the system which has allowed vaccines production, indeed allowed Europe to be a major base for production of medicines and vaccines for the world and indeed for Europe, which rely on very complex supply chains of very many different parts, ingredients and different parts of the manufacturing process to produce the medicines and vaccines that we need. And to interfere with that causes risk to the supply and causes risk to the future developments. And it really is be a significant change of direction. And I suppose in this present context, the key thing is that, well, what exactly is the problem that the European Commission is trying to solve? Is it a problem for all the suppliers? Is it a problem with one particular supplier? And I think that if there's a problem on one contract and one supplier, one would imagine that you'd want to deal with that one specifically, rather than introduce a very significant change of policy direction by having export bans.
Yeah, you see, that's interesting that you say that, because you have members from, you know, I mentioned some of the pharmaceutical companies who are manufacturers of COVID vaccine who are members of your organisation. Surely they're looking at AstraZeneca and going, can you not sort this out before it impacts the rest of us?
Well, I think everybody wants, every company, I would say, of course, in their favour, every company knows their responsibilities and has to operate on the basis of their own contracts with the European Commission in this case and with other countries. And so that's where their responsibility is to deal with the Commission in this purchasing system that's been put in place and to make sure that that works. And everybody knows that that's the responsibility. AstraZeneca knows that, Pfizer, Janssen and the others will know that too. So in that context, it does seem like the wrong direction to take to start implementing or contemplating export bans, which could affect the supply of vaccines for companies which are in fact meeting all their obligations and indeed doing perhaps even more in certain cases.
Okay, well, Professor Barrett, I want to ask you to explain exactly what's going on in this row between the EU, the UK, and AstraZeneca. It's complicated, but can you explain to us how it all came about?
Yes. Well, I suppose essentially, if I can, call it in a nutshell, if you want. The problem is at the moment that the UK has exported zero vaccines to the European Union, whereas producers in the European Union have exported about 41.5 million vaccines outside the European Union, of which about 10 million have gone to the UK, which last week meant that about a third of the doses, the vaccines that have been injected into people's arms in the UK, including Northern Ireland, by the way, have come from Europe. Whereas Europe is experiencing a vaccine shortage itself, largely because AstraZeneca, not exclusively, but AstraZeneca has not fulfilled its contractual arrangements with the European Union as those arrangements were understood by it. In other words, they expected to get very large numbers of vaccines, and less than half of those have actually been delivered.
So, and do we know why AstraZeneca is doing this?
Well, in evidence given to the European Parliament, the reason seemed to be contractual for it. In evidence given to the European Parliament there in May 2020, Pascal Soriot, the AstraZeneca CEO, said that the UK priority comes from a research funding agreement that Oxford signed with the UK government in January or February 2020. Now, we haven't seen that agreement because it's been kept confidential by the United Kingdom government, but essentially what it means is that the United Kingdom government locked AstraZeneca into an arrangement which nobody knew about, essentially, whereby the vaccines that are produced by AstraZeneca, the UK gets basically all of those, all of its needs supplied before anyone else in Europe gets theirs supplied.
So the EU made a misstep?
You can put it that way, but the European Union were not made aware of that particular arrangement. I don't think they would have you know, reached the arrangement they did with AstraZeneca if they knew that they were going to behave in the manner in which they have done. And it's quite interesting because you know, Boris Johnson has said, I note even in today's Irish Times, he said that we in this country don't believe in blockades of any kind of vaccines or vaccine material. It's not something this country would dream of engaging in. In fact, by virtue of the contractual arrangements that he has reached with Oxford and which have been inherited by AstraZeneca, and that's exactly what is happening, because vaccines which have been bought and paid for by European Union countries, including Ireland, are not being exported to them.
Okay, so Oliver, you can understand how the European Commission has to fight its own corner here, and it feels it isn't being dealt with correctly by AstraZeneca under the terms of the contract that it signed with that company.
Yeah, well, I think everyone can understand that, and everyone can see that there is a mix here between the UK government, the European Commission, and AstraZeneca in that particular case. But like Angela Merkel has said in the last couple of days, we have to be very careful about imposing blanket export bans, and you have to look very carefully at supply chains. And, you know, even she calls out that we have a problem. She says this is well known. It's with the particular AstraZeneca company in this case. So the question is that one would hope, I would hope, our industry association would hope that this will have to be dealt with in those bilateral negotiations that are underway without creating new legal instruments and an expectation that everything produced in the European Union, no matter by whom and no matter what the contractual obligations, has to stay or it can be interfered with, let's say, or can be stopped from being exported.
Yeah,
that wouldn't be to Ireland's advantage. It wouldn't be to the world's advantage. It wouldn't be to the European Union's advantage.
So ultimately, you're saying if this export ban goes ahead as proposed, it could have an impact on our vaccine supplies across the board.
Well, I'm not saying that in the immediate sense that the vaccine supply coming into Ireland from under the European Commission contract would be impacted immediately. But what one would fear would be that supply, that there would be retaliatory measures, that you're introducing enough predictability into the situation. And as we know, once trade barriers start going up and retaliatory measures come in place, it's everyone loses, and particularly smaller countries lose. And we, with our very open economy, with jobs that are reliant on international investment, with jobs and those companies manufacturing on the basis of global supply chains, we do need that system to stay open.
Okay.
And so the issue has to really be dealt with at the level where the exact problem is, rather than introducing wider bans and so on.
And Gavin, are the European Union, would you say, looking at the situation, likely to go ahead with this export ban? And if they do, would it be legal to do so?
Yes. Essentially, I think the European Union feel that they have, other member states feel that they have been made fools of, essentially, here. I mean, the best analogy I can draw here is in relation to UK behaviour. Someone in a village who accepts the generosity of his neighbours during a famine, and then when he's asked to share his own food, says, no, this legally belongs to me. Now, perhaps he has the law with him, but the conduct is still morally reprehensible. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, and the other member states, particularly France and Germany, have had enough of it. Now, essentially, in terms of the means that will be used in relation to this, a proposal is going to be unveiled today by the Commission for approval by the member states if they wish. And essentially, it's going to expand on the basis of stopping shipments to countries that import from the EU but refuse to export their own vaccine, their own vaccine production. And what happens is that the proposal is going to aim at countries that restrict vaccine exports to the EU, however this is done, either by law or by any other means. In other words, by export bans or indeed by contractual arrangements, because the net effect of both of them is the same. And Ireland has already, and the other member states have already, been hugely impacted by AstraZeneca's behaviour in this regard. Ireland's vaccine rollout was predicated on receiving vaccines that, instead of going to Ireland and to the European Union, have instead, by virtue of this contractual arrangement with Oxford, gone to the United Kingdom. Kingdom.
And Oliver, one particular issue has been highlighted, and that's this factory in the Netherlands. And the reports are that it has 30 million doses of AstraZeneca vaccines, which need to be finished ultimately in Italy, but they haven't been released from that factory yet. No one seems to know where they're going to go once they are released. Do you know what's going on there?
Well, I don't have privileged information into it. I mean, I read the international reports like everyone else. I see that the European Commissioner Thierry Breton has informed EU ambassadors that he expects supply in Europe of vaccines to reach 100 million per month in any event from April through to the end of the year. And so that's a very positive thing. Now, the Dutch factory that's in question here, Bloomberg reports that it's expected to produce about 5 million a year, and it's soon to be authenticated or, let's say, licensed by the European Medicines Agency. So it will be a part of the production capacity within Europe as other vaccines producers ramp up their production as well. So we are ramping up production. The European Council is likely to call on manufacturers to do that. All the manufacturers are very keen to do that. They're engaging in a lot of collaborations to make that happen. But I would say that the approach taken by the Irish government there, articulated by Minister of Finance just before this discussion, of being very cautious about supply chains, looking at things carefully and looking at what exactly is the problem that we're trying to solve, is the right approach.
Mm-hmm, but the Irish government is only one of 27, as we know only too well. We'll leave it there for now. Oliver O'Connor from the Irish Pharmaceutical Healthcare Association and Professor Gavin Barrett, thank you both very much indeed for joining us. Before we finish, I want to go to Shona Murray, Europe correspondent with Euronews, because there is some news on vaccine export restrictions. Shona, what can you tell us?
Well, that's right. The EU is amending its export mechanism to ensure that exports will only leave the EU to another country if that's reciprocated. And as we know, there's been huge problems with the EU being the largest exporter of vaccines in the world, but not getting any vaccines from countries like the UK. So I think, you know, it appears to be something controversial in the UK, but the EU is trying to play it down, saying this is not about being an export ban. It's about, you know, fairness and free trade. But it also comes as there's news today that was reported in La Stampa that Italian authorities have discovered 29 million doses of Oxford AstraZeneca in an Italian plant that came from the Netherlands that was due to be exported to the UK. And there's a lot of questions now in Brussels about, well, why aren't those vaccines used for the EU contract? So this issue is just, you know, not never ending, really. But
so those doses are going to the UK, are they? That's where they're headed.
There was an investigation into the plant by Thierry Breton, by the Commission and the Italian authorities, and the likelihood is they were due to go to the UK. They haven't gone to the UK. And so the question is for AstraZeneca to answer as to, well, are surely these are part of the EU's contract, seeing as AstraZeneca said that they would use at least EU doses in EU manufacturing sites to supply the EU. And the question is, were the AstraZeneca just send them to the UK anyway?
Okay.
A lot of answers from AstraZeneca to come from that in the next few hours, I think.
All right, Shona, we will watch it. Thank you very much indeed for bringing us up to speed.